my friends.
Hello there, my friend. How you doing?
It's that time of year, you know, I was thought of getting out of the Packers would make me a little less busy this time of year, but it just seems like it's the same. As the new year starts, that's when the business of football really heats up, and here we are.
Andrew, I got to ask you, with this time being the busy time, and it has been that way for you forever, how much do you indulge in the NCAA tournament? Do you take a little bit of time to have perhaps a favorite team that you follow or rooting for?
Yeah, actually, you know, one of my other gigs is running a sports law program at Villanova, which is about 6 minutes from my house, and I got to know that team pretty well. We fought them through the whole tournament last year, including Houston when they won the whole thing. So I counseled them. A couple of those players were checking out the NBA draft last year. I was kind of a mentor for that. So I'm pretty partisan here to Villanova, so they got a good shot again.
Andrew, I got to ask, when you look at the roster of students who sign up for your course, I mean, you can't help but notice certain names that jump out at you, I would think. Does it work that way?
Yeah, when I get Josh Hart, who's the could be player of the year in college basketball, yeah. And they've got a football player this year that's really creating some buzz around the combine.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, obviously a lot of athletes, but I'll tell you this. I mean, a lot of women athletes, a lot of athletes in non-revenue sports. So it's good to see, you know, this sort of not focused on basketball and football only.
That's Andrew Brandt, the Monday Morning Quarterback, ESPN's very own, the former Packers salary cap guru, Harry.
Now, Andrew, I want to put your agent hat on. Okay.
Yeah.
Your agent hat on, and now you're the agent of a tight end for, let's say, the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
And here's free agency coming. As your client, would you have tried to get something done beforehand? Would you have waited to see what the market bears, or what would be your strategy?
You know, Harry, it's interesting because we're just 2 years, maybe 3 years, 4 years, I don't know, into this legal tampering period, which I think gives players a huge advantage where they can now look legally behind what's door number two. And, you know, basically it's not a guessing game anymore for the teams. So the teams have this way of responding. So whether it's Jared Cook or any player, you know what you got out there. And you can come back to the team. The tough thing for an agent is when you don't have much at all. So now you're coming back to the team, and if you know, this tampering period kind of pushes everything up. By the time free agency starts, you already know what kind of market you're going to have. So you better have something if you're going to come back to the team and say, you know, we got something pretty strong out there. But if you do have more than one team bidding, you can tell your incumbent team, hey, listen, here's where we are. And this happened with Sam Shields a few years ago. I thought that was a very, what's the word, unpacker-like deal.
Mm-hmm.
That was strong. It was top of the market. I think it was 40 over 4. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, that's Sam Shields just used the leverage of this pre-free agency market to his full advantage. And the Packers weren't willing to let him go.
Andrew, I've got to ask, is it negotiating? Is it unscrupulous? What if you... how often do you see a deal where when you were dealing with an agent or dealing with a team where, I mean, the money was nowhere near what it ended up being? A little bit of bluffing going on?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, since I got out, Chris, I realized some of these agents, like, they really didn't have anything. you know, let's take a guy right now like a Mike Glennon. So Mike Glennon is this hot free agent quarterback who's linked to the Bears and may get what reports are $13 to $15 to $16 million a year. And I'm thinking, okay, why would the Bears pay that? Who, forget about how good or bad he is, who are they competing against? I mean, the teams like San Francisco and Cleveland, they're not going after Mike Glennon. And you just wonder, you know, you get these rumors out there, and you're like, well, he may have interest from one team, but who's beyond that? And that's where agents really try to mislead people and to their advantage when they're able to do it.
That's Andrew Brandt here on Sportsline talking Combine, talking NFL free agency in Green Bay, Harry.
you know, with the free agency, we keep hearing guys like you talk about Adrian Peterson, you know, for, and I'm going to ask you, because you got all this knowledge, where does a guy like Adrian Peterson wind up and why?
Yeah, Harry, I think we're in reality checks for a lot of guys. He's at the top of the list. Because these guys have been not only signature players for their franchise, they've set the market at their positions. He's going to have a tough time. I just think a guy like that, who's not going to be a special teamer, who's not going to be a change of pace, third down guy, are you really going to bank on Adrian Peterson as your bell cow like the Vikings did for a decade? Are you going to do that? And I think that's going to be hard for a team to do because he hasn't played. And then you get to Romo. Same question. Same question. Guy, who is going to go into 2017 with Tony Romo as their quarterback? You can't bank on that. You can have him as a 1A or maybe a 2, but you can't bank on that because of injury and advancing age. Those two guys have been making top-of-market contracts for 10 years, and they're really going to be in a reality check. Same with a Jamal Charles, you know, Jay Cutler. A lot of guys facing really lowered expectations.
Andrew, Ron Wolf way back in the day said he didn't know how, but he thought dynasties would still be part of it, even with parity and free agency and all that. And I don't know if you'd classify the Patriots as a dynasty, but how do they do it? Why can't other teams emulate it? It's got to be frustrating when you're negotiating. You find out, you know, someone will take a hometown discount. It's not even their hometown. It's New England.
Yeah, and it does seem, Chris, like every sort of big-name free agent at the end of their career is linked to the Patriots. I've heard them with Adrian. I've heard them with Brandon Marshall.
Yep.
And you're like, why? I mean, why is that? Now, some teams just don't want to go there, and we can talk about our team. I mean, go there, I mean, in bringing in someone who was a big name, but maybe at the end of their career. And you just wonder, are the Patriots winning out on these battles, or are they just player? You know, they just have this, they have the market cornered on old-time players that finish out their career there.
That's crazy. Andrew Brandt, the MondayMorningQuarterback.com, ESPN. Harry?
You know, Andrew, my philosophy on that, and I could be crazy, I've been, you know, some have said it before, is that you have the hoodie that understands veteran players, and he brings a guy in there and says, this is your job. You don't have to do anything else but do your job. We're going to pay you adequately, and your side is you got a good likelihood of going to the Super Bowl. Is that all the hoodie has to say?
I think so. I mean, I think the standard, you know, the gold standard kind of thing, it's different sports, but, you know, the Warriors can obviously sell things beyond money.
Mm-hmm.
Cavaliers can sell things beyond money. And I put the Packers in that category, too. I mean, the Packers are not a team that overpays players and manages to do well. So, I think with the Patriots, you have that. You have, you know, from the top down. And I think Brady making under market is a big part of that because you can say, well, listen, Tom Brady makes less than he should. So then you start there, and you can always trickle down all the way down.
That's Andrew Brandt here on Sportsline. Marcus.
Yeah, Andrew, so Harry led off asking you about, you know, if you're an agent for, say, a Packers tight end. Well, Jermaine Gresham, another tight end, just got an extension with the Arizona Cardinals. And I just saw a tweet. Sources say he doubled up on the $3.5 million that he made this past year. So has there ever been an instance where, you know, like a general manager of the Green Bay Packers has a free agent tight end of his own, and he looks at another free agent tight end and says, oh, God, like, here we go.
I have to pay him now.
Yeah.
Well, I think, first of all, yes, you definitely get those reactions when you see deals of players in the same positional market. You get that reaction. I had that all the time, and you curse the other teams. But the other thing is that we don't know is the real deals, and I say this all the time. I'm a broken record. Look behind the headlines. What's the real deal? I think this. I would be surprised if this Gresham deal is, you know, $28 million over 4 years. I want to see what's the guarantee. I also think it may be that, it, you know, the real deal is $7 million this year, with bonus and salary, but is it really a $7 million average, and what's the guarantee? Is it 14 over for the two? Is it 15 over two? Is it 10 over two? So you look at the real deal, and then, you know, then you've got to do comparisons on age and injury history and games played and all those kind of things. But as I said, one thing I was very proactive with, and it's stayed with the Packers since, is getting the guys early and not letting them get to this point.
Yes.
Because once it gets to this point, all bets are off the table.
That's Andrew Brandt, you bet.
And with
of course,
it,
I hear Harry go ahead.
Yeah, with saying that, if they knew that Jared Cook was their guy, we see Aaron Rodgers talk about that tight end, if they knew that, what was the advantage of not getting it done opposed to sitting down and letting other people get in the conversation?
I mean, that's a fair question. You know, we've had time since the season, obviously. Combine teams, you know, get very close to deals. And it's not like they had to wait on him. So that's a fair question, other than they, you know, the agent wants to take him to market. The agent wants to see what's out there and may come back to the Packers. The relationship's basically like, let's just touch base as we go into free agency. Unless we see a push in the next 48 hours, we'll see. It's a good question.
Andrew Brandt here on Sportsline. Chris and Harry, I got to ask you, the logistically it makes sense to have the combine butt up really close to free agency. You kind of get everybody in the same. I'm guessing you like that. Just talk a little bit about that, though, shifting gears. You're working with rookies and all of that, talking about your cap and then free agents at the same time.
Yeah, I think you guys know I'd go every year with the Packers, and I'd never see a workout. I stayed in my lane, which was meeting with agents, getting deals done with our guys. And, you know, as far as tampering, I'll say this. Yes, teams set up meetings with agents of pending free agents. It's not tampering if you're just saying, hey, I see you guys.
If you're having to run each other at a bar and having a drink, it's not tampering, is it?
Yeah, and everyone's got players on their team, other players of this agent on our team. And you can say, I see your list, and you have this guy as a free agent next week. What are you looking for that guy? That's not a negotiation. That's not tampering. That's asking about a guy's free agent and maybe ask about all the guys on his list. But anyway, that's what happens at the combine. Again, here's what I think about free agency on Thursday. I think it'll go fast and furious like every year. I think it'll be very robust for, pick a number, 10, 15, 20, maybe 25 guys. And I think it'll really slow down quickly, like it always does. And then the Packers and a lot of teams will start looking through what's left. And there will be a lot left in terms of numbers of players, because there always are. And then it becomes this musical chairs game. But we'll just see what level of contracts come out early, what's the trickle down. I mean, is Glennon going to get $15 million a year? Is Alshon Jeffrey going to get $12, $13 million a year? Deshaun Jackson, I hear, is going to have a strong market. You know, the Calais Campbell, who's an older guy, is going to have a strong market. He's 31, I think. And the tackle at Cincinnati, Whitworth, could have a strong market. He's like 34. So we'll see which guys really shake out from what we're hearing.
Andy, last thing before I let you go, just any crazy story, the one that got away in free agency, the one that you didn't think you'd get, and son of a gun, it ended up, you nailed him?
Well, there was that year that we chased two guys, both with the Poston brothers, who are tough agents, and we got one who turned out to be Defensive Player of the Year, the greatest free agent since Reggie White. We got Woodson, but we also wanted LeVar Arrington pretty bad. And LeVar Arrington, for those of you who don't know, is one of the most dynamic, magnetic people and players. And he walked through those offices. Our coaches were like high school girls with their red faces. You know, he's like, he like got them all like with crushes on them. And the bottom line is, of course, we got Charles, even though it took forever and we knew we were the only team and we're really bidding against ourselves. And we didn't get LeVar, who went to the Giants for less than we offered him. and unfortunately tore his Achilles, and the rest was history with him. But we went 1-for-2 on those posting guys, and some, you know, that was quite a month for me there.